Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody from Chicago. In our podcast, we had the honor and privilege of talking to Mr. Johnny Bogart. He is the founder and CEO of an IT service provider known as EB Solution. They're based out of Concord, Ontario, in Canada, and they're now one of the top providers in that area and in Canada as well. They now have offices in New York and Las Vegas. Johnny, thanks for your time, and let's go ahead and get started, please.
Thank you. How are you today?
Excellent. Okay, well, we looked up your bio, and we did some background snooping on you on Google. We didn't do like a background check or anything, don't worry. But you seem to have a very deep and rich background in cyber. How did you get into cybersecurity, and what are some of the hallmarks of your career that got you to where you are at today?
It's a good question. Very good question. Over the years, I kind of developed like a passion, you know, for technology. And then it became a hobby. And over the course of the years, that hobby became a profession. With some more studies and some more experience, and it became a profession. So from something that I just enjoyed doing, I learned how to really love it, and that's what I do every day, all day.
Okay. Excellent. Can you tell us the stones in your career, kind of like how you got to where you were and how you are, where you're at today?
Well, I started in a quite large corporation. It's a telecommunication company here in Canada. And I started from a technical person, applied, and I got hired, and I started as a technical person analyst. And I was doing some work and infrastructure work, clearly. Laying the infrastructure for their clients. And I got into it and I started to climb the ladder. And then I saw that there's quite a big gap in few of the fields, you know, in IT. One of them was cybersecurity. So it kind of pulled me in. Since then, this is what I'm doing.
Oh, excellent. Sounds good. Sounds like you're very, very passionate. And I think in cybersecurity, having that passion to help people is what really drives is it's very important. Now, tell us more about your company, EB Solution. Why did you decide to start a business like this?
So EB Solution, like I said, when I climbed a little bit the ladder and I started to do some more technical stuff, I had that rush, that feeling, that entrepreneurship feeling, and I saw an opportunity because I saw that, well, first of all, we provide IT services, right? So for small and mid-sized businesses, there was a big gap into what the business can afford towards what is the best practice or what should the business have. And I came to realization that it's a challenge that it's going to be very hard to solve, very hard. But I really want to take the task upon me, and I said, you know what? I'll start that consulting business, which became an IT company, which became a managed services provider company.
Congratulations. Now, how long have you been
in
business? And did you have any pitfalls or any success? Tell us about the pitfalls and success that you've had so far, you know, with starting your own business.
So we're in business since 2011. So that's over a decade now. And, you know, like any business journey, we had some share of challenges, especially at the beginning. When you figure out how, what, where, when you're becoming that technical guy with so much passion and interest into building a company at a larger scale that can actually scale and help others. and you know, some commitment to excellence, lots of adaptivity, and definitely help us to navigate through some rough patches and grow stronger.
Now, I was just curious, what does EB stand for in your company's name?
So the EB is executive brand. That's what it stands for. Executive brand.
Okay.
Solution.
Okay, excellent. Now, you're based out of Ontario, Canada. Do you have a presence in other countries as well, including the USA?
Absolutely. So that was then, you know, one of the successes that we were able to expand not only in Canada nationwide, but we're also operating in a few states in the United States. We work in New York, Nevada.
Oh, wow.
We work in Colorado. Yeah, we work in Colorado. And, yeah, kind of hopefully there's going to be some very good news soon, but hopefully soon in Florida as well. So we're expanding.
Cool.
We're actively working.
Do you have a presence in other countries on a global basis, like Europe maybe or Asia? Or
so we worked with some companies in Europe, yeah, but currently we're focusing specifically on North America. Our focus is Canada and the U.S.
Okay, excellent. Now, who is your typical customer base? Is it the small to medium-sized business, the Canadian government, the U.S. federal government, Fortune 500, or is it maybe a combination of all three of them?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? You got disconnected?
Yeah, who is your typical customer base? Is it like the small to medium-sized business, the government, like the Canadian government, or the bigger Fortune 500 companies? Or is it, you know, like a combination of all three?
So we're targeted at the SMB. I think our perfect fit is the small to mid-sized businesses. I think that's the most where we feel that we can really solve challenges for our clients.
Okay. Excellent. What kind of goals or industries do you primarily service for the SMB market?
So we service five industries. We do a lot of work with retailers, you know, shops and multi-location shops, let's say all kind of like a car dealerships and so on and so forth. We service them. We service the transportation logistics also industry. We do manufacturing. We're very strong in the cannabis business. We have cannabis clients. We're providing some awesome solutions for cannabis when it comes down to technology. And we also help professional services, so law firms and accounting firms.
Okay, excellent. Sounds great. Now, tell us some more about your product and service line. It seems like you have distinct product services in cybersecurity, obviously, voice over internet protocol, you know, business continuity, disaster recovery, as well as IT support. Could you please kind of go and do a deeper dive into all these four different unique services?
Absolutely, absolutely. So in terms of the services themselves, we only have what we say, we have three products. It's a product as a service, absolutely, but it's three products. And we provide cybersecurity services. We have a technical stack of what exactly we do. Really comprehensive security solutions. We do threat detection and response, prevention. Clearly, we do other means that we provide with services to safeguard our clients' digital assets. We do, the second product is telecommunication. So we are providing you with systems that can actually benefit you, make your work more efficient, and improve your connectivity and like cloud collaboration, which, you know, quite a lot of systems out there where you basically remote work is the norm, or at least is something that you adopt within a click of a button. And we're also a wholesaler, so we're a SIP provider, we're a carrier in Canada, and we're also working at the United States. Right? And business continuity, listen, business continuity, it comes down to you have to develop a strategy and some sort of plan to ensure that you have continuous operation in case if something happens, right? Disaster recovery, a little bit different. That's already something that you need to make sure that you can recover from, you know, a major disruption. That's what it is.
Right.
So there's three products, and if you take all three, then you get help desk, IT support from us, you know, where you can call and reach out to our great analyst that basically can help you with the day-to-day stuff, like my printer doesn't work, or please configure, you know, a new application install for me. Can you show me? Can you teach me? Can you help me? Can you do this and that? And can you do something for us now? We make it happen now. You know what I mean? So this is the three products. And the fourth one is, you know, you get it as a complimentary if you take all three products from us.
Okay, excellent. Now, how are they made available? Are they on premises at the client's physical location, or are they in the cloud like AWS or Azure, or is it, or can you do it for both?
So we're working in a hybrid mode. It can be in the cloud, but it can also be on-prem, you know, some infrastructure setup that requires us to be on-site. So we'll be on-site.
Okay, excellent. Now, do you use the AWS or Azure? Which is your more, preferred cloud platform?
That's a good question. I prefer a cloud platform that works and provide me the best service that it can. And between the two, you know what, I have to tell you that it's, I would say it's a tie, because both of them are really good providers.
Okay.
Really good providers.
Excellent. Okay. Tell us more about the technological architecture that you use for your services. Is there anything in the back end, or you provide everything to the client? How does all that work?
How it all works. That's a very good question. Listen, it's an infrastructure that we built over time with lots of combined years of experience. I think that one of the major things that we really look into is we're always concerned about cyber threats. So when we build our infrastructure, we emphasize, first of all, the cybersecurity and the safety of our clients' data. It's something that it's a top priority for us. And of course, over an infrastructure that is also having high availability, you know, a little chance of failure, and if such, how to respond to it as soon as it happens. So high availability of things and scalability. So we don't, you know, we don't find ourselves with a single point of failure.
Now, I get asked this question quite a bit, and like, what's the difference between business continuity and disaster recovery? What's your opinion? What's the difference between the two?
So let's look into these two things. Business continuity is something that will focus on maintaining some of the essential business functions that you have during an issue or concern or some sort of disruption. And it will allow the operation to continue work due to, you know, measures or so. Disaster recovery is something quite different. It's a process to restore your operation that involves the, you know, information technology to the point you had a very major incident and now is back to normal. How do we do that? How do we minimize that time? How do we come to the point that, God forbid, something happens, we click a button and we just go back to what it is? And with technology today that is extremely affordable to small businesses, this is exactly what it is. It's a click of a button. So it is possible. Okay. And that's one of the challenges that we solve to like I said, small to mid-sized businesses.
Okay, excellent. Now, one, you know, I also sell cyber services too here in the Chicago market with my business partner. And one of the issues that we find is a hard proposition is that SMBs are reluctant to take cybersecurity seriously. You know, it comes down to one of two reasons. Either they think it's too expensive, or they think, well, because we haven't been hit, we won't ever get hit, you know, in the future. From your experience, why do the SMBs, maybe from the Canadian perspective, why do they take their cybersecurity less seriously than maybe perhaps a bigger company? What's your view on that?
You know, that's something that I hear a lot, by the way. A lot of smaller clients, you know, these with 20 employees, 10 employees, 30 employees, 50 employees, I also hear that, though less already. But a lot of them will come and say, well, I'm a small business. What can they already want from me? You know, cyber criminals are after big companies and exposure and politics and whatever it is. And I think this is where they're wrong, because the with technology today, it's so easy to harm others that cyber criminals often will see that as a vulnerable target, and it's legit for them. And it doesn't matter if it's Mary at the bakery that is working with two point of sales computers, or it's manufacturing with 50 employees. It doesn't matter. They're vulnerable, okay. And that's the concern. So we have to raise awareness, right, about it. That's just, we have to educate, we have to show, we need to show these businesses the benchmark, to show them, look at the statistics of what's happening. You know.
Well, what's your success rate been with that? Because, I mean, my business partner, we've tried doing some education, but, you know, companies still just don't quite get it, at least here in Chicago. So have you had any success with that? Have they realized just how important cybersecurity is to them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say 9 out of 10 leads that I spoke to, I had a very positive response. Because at the end of the day, what you need to explain to that business is what happens when, you know, there's a cyber incident. Because at the end of the day, it's not like it's not going to happen. This is something that you have to be cautious here. You can't just say it's not going to happen. Most likely, it will. Most likely, and there's probably already attempts from your email phishing and from other means. So what happens when it's going to happen? How do we proceed? How do we restore? How do we remediate? How do we stop it? How do we restore? How do we roll back? This is something that definitely should be the first, I think, talking point with your lead. And when you talk to the lead and you're just listen to what they say, they might have a valid point, or they're just not educated enough. Because at the end of the day, you're going to a manufacturing or a COO of the manufacturer, and it's 40 people. All he cares about is, you know, the plant works, because he knows exactly how much he makes every hour. He knows exactly how much he spends every hour. So when you come and you listen to these answers, at the same time, you can also understand their rationale and explain to them exactly what I'm saying. Is what happens when? How long the plant will not manufacture your product? What will be the loss compared with the investment that you're going to do towards the solution that can prevent it? And even if it's not being prevented, then you can always click a button and come back to your norm. If you think that investment worth that risk, I think that, like I said, 9 out of 10 of leads that I spoke to understand the value there. Because we're not talking about millions, right? We're not in the 90s. Technology today is very accessible, very affordable.
You know, the big buzzwords today are, you know, in cybersecurity are the zero trust framework, multi-factor authentication, you know, where one uses three or more layers of authentication to confirm the identity of an individual. I wrote a whole book on that, on your trust framework, and using, you know, different principles of quantum physics to fortify that infrastructure. And in that, I talk about biometrics quite a bit. I talk about using iris recognition, facial recognition, fingerprint recognition as part of a triad for a multi-factor authentication approach. What are your thoughts on biometrics? Do you make use of that in your authentication services that you offer to the SMB market?
We do. We actually do. We have some biometric authentication options. We work with some of our partners. One of them is definitely Microsoft. And we do provide, yeah. It's a great, you know, additional layer of security, like using an actual physical, you know, identity verification. I think it's great. And it's...
Okay, excellent.
It's very accessible.
What kind of,
make it happen.
Yeah, what kind of... Yeah, what kind of biometric modality do you use? Do you use the iris or fingerprint recognition?
Fingerprints.
Okay, excellent. Now, how have you dealt with, you know, like ransomware, you know, phishing, you know, like business email compromise, crypto jacking? How have you dealt with those?
Unfortunately, these type of cyber threats, they're out there, they're consistent and persuasive, and it's going to just keep happening. We did assist quite a few, today they're already clients, but they were reaching out to us, addressing, you know, some cyber threats. And we had even a few today's clients already that suffered targeted attacks. So one of our things that we help them is during the attack is, first of all, is, you know, how to respond to that incident, how to make sure it won't spread even further, and then mitigate it and investigate and to hunt specific threat with some of our partners to understand where it came from and to learn from it.
Okay, excellent. Now, let me pull that question here really quick. Now, do you have any customer success stories that you'd like to share with us, like, you know, any clients that you've successfully mitigated a security breach or a cyber attack?
So this is exactly the example that I just gave. Today we have a client that's it's a manufacturer. It's a small manufacturing plant that reached out to us during a cyber incident. And one of our analysts took the call, and that was a great call from him. And he just instructed the person what to do right now until we figure out who it is. Because he called technical support, but that person, that company was not even our client. So today they're already our client. But what we did, we were able and fast enough to tell them exactly what to do during the incident. And I think we were up and running within roughly, I can estimate about 3 hours. All the machines,
excellent.
The attack on all the CNC machines and IoT, everything that happened there, they were up and running probably a little bit less than 3 hours. Yeah.
Okay.
And today they're
our
clients, so we're very excited. Very excited.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Congratulations. Do you have any other success stories you can share?
No, I have a few of them. I can't think something out of my mind right now, but I definitely have quite a few. It really depends on what you're talking about. Like we had some client that went down.
You know, fishing or anything?
We had a client who had an attack on a phone system, and all their phones went down. And we were able to literally... it happened about less than 2 months ago. We were able literally to replicate their environment they had on our platform. And within an hour, they were running but a little bit less. And today they're our clients. So I'm very excited. But that was an attack on their phone system, on their servers. That was a little bit nasty because they just... they didn't realize even what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Now, Johnny, as we know, there are tons of vendors here in the United States, and I'm sure as well as in Canada, there's probably over 2,000 or 3,000. What separates EB Solution from the rest of the pack? In other words, why should I come to you for my cybersecurity needs versus maybe another company maybe 50 miles away from me? What makes you different from everybody else?
You know, I have to tell you that our team is something that is absolutely something I believe to be unique. The personalized approach that we have and the extensive cybersecurity expertise at any level of support that we have and the commitment for that support to reach out, to make sure everything's working. We see our clients as a teammate. If you know, even when we email each other sometimes, our clients, hi team, it's always as a team. We work together. So our client success and that collaborative work is definitely something that you won't find in a lot of other companies that work together, even if you sit in a different office. But that feeling, that support of each other, you know, it helps us to do our job and align their technology with the actual business needs. We're a full partner of our clients, so it's great. And I think it's kind of unique. And I've been told about it by a few clients. They're like, you know what, this is the first time that I have an MSP and IT provider that I feel that I work in a team together. You know, you have your dedicated account manager, dedicated network engineer, and there's a team of support. And they feel like, you know, I have a department that I'm working with just, you know, emails and everything, like everything internal. It's a unique approach to the team.
Okay, excellent. Now, before you onboard a customer or, you know, or once they first get started, do you offer any kind of like a free risk assessment or trial for them to try out for like maybe a few weeks or so?
We do. We offer initial consultation, of course, but we also do risk assessment or, you know, gap assessment, you can call it, when it comes down to their environment. We do look into their cloud applications, you know, from their providers like Microsoft or Google, all the way to their infrastructure, where we utilize an actual device to look into the network, to find vulnerabilities, to generate that report that at the end of the day, we can make a you know proper decision and not just a guess because he said, she said. We're basing our decision based on fact. And I think that's something, by the way, that our clients, they love it, that initial one, first of all. And then we also do it periodically, right? So it's a great way to show the commitment and the progress that starts from, at, you know, beginning of the relationship when you onboard all the way into the 3, 5, like 8 and 10 years, these achievements, these measurements are—it's great. These assessments—it's just, you know, it's building your roadmap.
Okay, excellent. Wow. Now, there's some issues in the cyber world today that you know that we're facing. First one is on the Internet of Things. You know, I find that to be a very scary proposition. Having everything all connected. I don't have a smart home or a smart car. In fact, I still drive an old Honda Civic 2003 all plug instrumentation. What are your
thoughts? Why? I'm interested to know why. Sorry to catch you there, but I'm interested to know why.
It's all interconnected. See, Johnny, I'm kind of an old-fashioned guy. I mean, as much as I love cybersecurity, I hate technology. Okay. There's so much of technology that's inundated on us today, social media. I'm old fashioned. In fact, on my iPhone, I have the most basic iPhone possible. I don't have anything fancy. I only have two mobile apps. One is the Google Maps to, you know, tell me the driving directions, and one The other one's for my email. I get so disenchanted with all this talk about technology. I mean, we're just so consumed by it, you know. And I just, wish it was back in the olden times again. You know, when we just, you know, when we did our, you know, school reports using encyclopedias. You know, we were using a phone more often. But you know, and plus,
but it's great. But you understand that if we're gonna go back to the 90s. I remember I had to go to the library and take the encyclopedia and research and look. Today's technology is accessible even to kids. It means that you can educate them better. Yeah, there's always downfalls. I understand it. But there's ways and means to make sure that it's safe. But think about it. Education today for kids, they absorb knowledge on an hourly basis. They learn, they consume, they want to know. And it's something that you can really shape the future of kids. This is specifically I'm talking about, you know, education. I have way more options, right? For example, I don't know, security-wise, right? You come home, it's 11 p.m., you come home, you park your car, your I don't know, your camera see there's you know, person at the front yard. It will turn on automatically the lights. It will, like, you understand, it's safer. It's just safe. Or when you leave the house, you know, you forgot to put the alarm, so the alarm will turn on itself when you leave the house. The door will lock after yourself. The blinds will be closed, and your robot will start to clean your house.
Oh, wow. Okay, well,
you can use technology for something better, faster, and making sure that all these tasks are being done, you know, by technology. No?
Okay. Well, do you have a smart home or a smart car?
I do. I really like technology, yes.
Okay, excellent, okay. Well, the other topic I want to kind of bring up is artificial intelligence. You know, as we know, you know, with the ChatGPT that came out, when was it, late last year, it turned the world upside down again. And a lot of people are afraid of AI that's going to take over the world, it's going to replace jobs. I've written two books on AI, and I got a third one I'll be writing on also. I don't think it's going to be that bad. You know, I think ChatGPT is just going to be another craze that kind of blows over like the dot-com craze back in the late 90s. But the one thing that it has left its mark, AI is going to be here to stay. It's going to be part of our lives on a daily basis almost, whether we like it or not. What are your thoughts on AI? Do you use that for your products and solutions for EV solutions?
AI, we do use, yeah, absolutely, we do use AI, not to make decisions, but to do research for us. Yeah, we definitely use that. And then based on facts, we make the decision. But the decision is still made by a human here. That's how we operate. But listen, the continue of development, of continuous development of AI, also can raise some security issues and threats, mainly cyber threats, right? So we need to know how to stop it. It's going to be impossible, but at least how to respond, how to make sure that we catch it on time, how do we respond, how do we proceed, just to be ready, right? Especially with all the Internet of Things, just like you said, right? It's still a security risk, right? So it's a challenge. It's a challenge that you have to figure out how do you protect people. The same like people at home, right? They have all kind of IoT devices. So how do you protect yourself even at home?
Okay, excellent. Now tell us more about the recognition you just received, the Qualified Digital Advisor in Canada. Can you well, first of all, congratulations, and tell me more about this program.
Thank you. It's called the CDAP. Yeah, CDAP, the Canadian Digital Adoption Plan. It's a great plan by our federal government. So the idea here is they invested quite a few billions of dollars to make sure that post-COVID businesses will be able to be stronger and definitely have more digital presence. Because unfortunately, we saw what happened during the pandemic to a lot of mainly small mid-sized businesses that were not as digital. And what they did, they said, you know what, we'll give the money to these small businesses that would like to go and become more digital, which means they would like to have one of their processes that they currently have, or all of it, or their whole operation even, and to digitize it, to put it online, from websites to development of sales and marketing, and of course the technology needs of what they need, right? So basically what's happening is you can get a grant of up to $15,000 for a digital advisor. Yeah, that's a significant amount for a digital advisor to come look into your business operation and tell you how to digitize it. So what we do, we come in, we meet with you, we have over a course of a few weeks, over a course of a few meetings, we look into your business, what exactly you do, we analyze your processes, and then we'll look into where you currently at point A, where you want to be at point B, and how do you get there with technology? How do you digitize your procurement? How do you digitize your inventory management? How do you digitize your order? How do you digitize your shipping? How do you automate your process? What services, what type of technology you need, what type of decision makers you will need, and so on and so forth. So it's a whole process that is being built specifically for your business. So we're one of the certified digital advisors that can actually come in and create a plan for you like that, and it will be covered up to $15,000 by the federal government. Yes, it's a great plan. And then if you're approved, there's also an additional step that you can get up to a loan to deploy that plan, right? BDC, Bank Development of Canada, you can get up to $100,000 for 5 years repayment with zero interest. Zero interest. The government does not take interest. It's just a push for businesses to recover, to become stronger, to become more online, digitized.
Oh, wow, excellent. Okay, congratulations on that. As we start to wrap up our show here, Johnny, how do you think the cyber threat landscape is going to evolve going this year, going to next year? And finally, after you give us your thoughts on that, what do you tell people to help mitigate the risk of becoming a victim of a cyber security attack? Now, we all are, we can all be a victim. There's no guarantees in that of not becoming one, but we can definitely cut down the risk on that. If you can tell us, what you tell people, your clients, or, your family, what they could do to, bring down that risk as much as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, with technology, it's advanced over time and constantly. And some cyber threats will become more sophisticated and diverse, especially now with AI that we just discussed. So we definitely anticipate an increase in targeted attacks. Mainly will be leveraged by AI and some automation, but we also hope that some regulation will become more strict when it comes down to AI. So what we say to all our clients, listen, you have to invest into robust cybersecurity solutions. Like I said, it's affordable, it's achievable, it's really not that big of an issue, but make sure that you invest. And second thing is just educate your employees. That's another thing that it's a big thing. Just educate people on a simple, basic language. What are the best practices? How to go to a open safe link and how to go to to log into your bank online and what exactly you need to look into and how do you make sure that this is authentic website or authentic email. So you have to educate them. Of course, you have to update your system regularly, okay? and back up all critical data, okay? All critical data, absolutely. There's some other options, of course, but back up, okay? And make sure that you establish proactive incident response, okay? You need to understand that there's no such measure of, don't worry, it's not going to happen. Oh, I have a great antivirus, or a great firewall, or a great service, or it's not going to happen. At some point, it can, and most likely it will. And you need to know how to respond, how to stop it from spreading, and how to get back to normal life, back to normal. So just make sure that you have a proactive, proper plan. Right? It's an ongoing effort, right? It requires some vigilance and then adaptation. It is what it is. It's constant work. You have to make sure you're on top of it. That's what I tell all my clients in conversation.
Yeah, I fully agree with you on all those points. Yeah, it's just, it comes down to what I call the great cyber equation is, you know, great security comes from both being proactive humanly and having, you know, good technology in place and that plan also coming together in a, you know, in a good confluence.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, we thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
What's the best way for someone to get a hold of you in case they're interested in talking to you more or they're interested in your services? What's the best way?
I think the best way is probably either go on our website, ebsolution.ca, or, EB as in Echo Bravo, ebsolutionusa.com, one of the two. And you can reach out to us literally by just clicking there or calling us, or just send me an email. You can send me directly an email at jbogard@ebsolution.ca.
Okay. Well, Johnny, we thank you for your time, and I'd love to have you again on a future podcast talking more about SMB cybersecurity. We thank you for your time. Have a great rest of the day and week, okay?
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Okay, thank you, too. Take care.